Brigadier Scott Reel 4.
Right in the middle of the block, this tree, although it had a lot of the top branches blown off, was still a very solid tree. And the hand-to-hand fighting such was that we had two lieutenant colonels leading a few men each. The rest of the brigade and brigade headquarters were pulling out. And we were firing up. I was throwing grenades up, so was Colonel Thompson, trying to throw them up the hill towards where the Japanese were lying down. Much to our horror, the things were rolling back and blowing up, not quite enough to affect the Japanese. Colonel Thompson was firing at the left-hand side of the tree upwards, and I was firing at the right-hand side. All of a sudden, there was a, oh, and Colonel Thompson went down with a wound in his left shoulder. I bent down to pull him in, and I was hit. And it was gushing down my leg. And I put my hand down my leg, and I looked at it. It wasn't blood. It was a water bottle. My water bottle had been hit. It had been standing, when I bent, it stuck out. And the sniper, we were against snipers, had a shot at it, thinking I would be following out. Instead of hitting me in the backside, he hit the water bottle. And that, the liquid running down, was not blood, but water.
We haven't said anything about the mules in the campaigns. What did you feel about the performance of the mules?
The first campaign, one of the saddest things I shall ever remember about it was, as the mules got tired, and a lot were wounded, they became galled. They had galled and we couldn't do much for it. Although we had a certain amount of things we could have given them, they still had to carry their loads. And it used to make me, yes, very, very sorry at night, after we'd unload them, to go round and see some of these poor mules who'd done us so well, with great holes in them, in through the skin on their backs. The last mule I said goodbye to was Big Bertha. Previously I told you that I ambushed a junk in the gorge, the head of the gorge, and we had our wireless set, which was our only link, left remaining link with our headquarters in Assam. Big Bertha was carrying this. I got it across, and I got it across in the sampan, which took me across, and we towed Big Bertha behind us. But she'd had, by the time we got the bank the other side, she wasn't anything like the mule she'd been 5 or 6 hours earlier. It'd been too much for her, because they hadn't had real food for days, weeks in fact, a couple of weeks. And what we had to do to put her out of her misery was to put her down to help her. And my sergeant major shot her. Before we broke up the wireless set, I sent that last message I've talked about, that I would be at such and such a spot 5 days later, 4 or 5 days later. Failing that, I would have made poor progress and I'd been some 10 miles, 12 miles further or nearer the Chinwin. Please, can you drop rations for my column lasting for a fortnight? We will carry what we can. In the meantime, we've no mules now. And every man will have to carry his own rations, hopefully for the next 14 days. And the mules did us very well indeed. It's amazing to think that the I had old Lancastrians with me, all the old chaps in the mills in Lancashire could be so fond of animals. I suppose they would be anyway, but it was very marked, the care and the attention they gave to the mules. But the ardours of the campaign were over and above that, and most of our mules died or had to be put down. The second campaign was totally different. Our distances were no greater, were less. We didn't have the long walks we had before, and we were able to give the mules far rest. Other than at Blackpool, where an awful lot of our mules had been taken to the back of the block, so they would not be inside the block and getting in everybody's way. But unfortunately, some of the shells that were intended for Blackpool, or bombs, got amongst the mule lines. We lost a lot of damn good mules there. So in the end, not many, many mules went over the ridge into Dorji Lake area. That's about it.
Can you say something about the discipline that was kept over the Chindits in the campaigns?
Chindits for the individuals?
Yes.
In dealing with the discipline of those who served in the first campaign, I know of only one case in the first campaign where a chap really got out of line. And it was that, in fact, he got fed up with being with us and decided, I always thought, he'd make his own way back. But no one ever heard of him again or ever saw him again. How far he got, I do not know, whether the Japs got him or not. But by and large, the morale was outstanding. And the closeness and the comradeship of those who served in both the first campaign and the second campaign was outstanding. And it's something that as a leader, I could have not wished for anything greater than the comradeship and the respect that came from those men.
Did you find that they carried out the instructions that they had been given during the training about how to operate in the jungle, or did some of them disobey those instructions?
You got the odd cases of chaps thought they knew better than what they'd been told in their training. But fortunately, they were soon to realise the hard way. I think the greatest incidents, the main incident, I think, the most sad incident, of where a chap would be asleep on guard or steal somebody else's rations. On one occasion, I had a man did just that. At least he was alleged to have done that, and I believe those who claimed he had were right. And in fact, he was joined by another one who listed the same sort of thing from his platoon. Did I flog them? Did I whip them? No. We'd had 5 days' rations dropped to us, and I gave them both 5 days' rations. Told them the direction we had come was through that, along that lane, along that clearing in the forest, and if those were the rations, they could get the hell out of it. And if they came back near us, they'd have to be dealt with by the men that stole the rations from. Well, for 2 days, they followed behind us, about a quarter of a mile behind, I know, because I had to keep tally on them. If only they'd realized all they had to do was to have them be brought back right away, was to have caused a row or fired shots in the air. That would have alerted the Japs to where we were. But they didn't. One of them was crying. Another one was almost. On the morning of the third day, I brought them both back into the column. And I think they learnt a lesson, not only for that campaign, but a lesson for the rest of their lives. Because they knew fear. And they dreaded the thought of trying to get back the 100 or something miles to the Chinwin. Those are the two. Only two. I know of no other case of where anything had to happen like that. As you know, two men were flogged, and there was a row about that, but I didn't have to flog them. I just used the psychology on them that, you know, there's your ration, to hell I went. And they took it and went off. Then they realised, you know, I meant what I said. We moved off without them, and they followed us. And all they had to do was fire in the air, and they brought all the Japs down on us. But they didn't cotton on to that, unfortunately. And they came and said they were sorry, and I made them say they were sorry to their own platoons, and then we took them in again. That's the only sort of punishment you had for them.
What ranks did they hold?
Privates. Privates.